Paying off debt is always a good thing, but paying it off before retirement is one of the best financial moves you'll ever make. Hi, I'm Rob West. It's a disturbing trend. More people than ever are retiring with debt. That reduces their lifestyle choices and increases the likelihood they'll have to return to work at some point. Today, we'll talk about carrying debt into retirement and how you can avoid it. And then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Okay, so the latest numbers on this aren't good. According to the Federal Reserve's 2022 survey of consumer finances, the percentage of folks 65 to 74 with debt rose to 65%. When the Fed began tracking this statistic 35 years ago, only 50% of people that age were in debt. Debt will certainly crimp your lifestyle in retirement. And for many people, it could mean having to go back to work at some point. Proverbs 22:7 warns, "The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is the slave of the lender." A recent report by T. Rowe Price showed that 20% of people who previously retired are back working full or part-time. Another 7% of retirees said they're actively looking for work. The major reason, of course, is the need for more income. The rapid rise in inflation over the past few years caught many retirees off guard. On average, things are around 15% more expensive today than they were just 3 years ago. Many retirement budgets, especially those that include debt, are stretched to uncomfortable levels. Now, what can you do about it? Well, obviously, you don't want to carry debt into retirement if you can avoid it. If you're 5, 10, or 15 years away from retirement, set a goal of having all your debts paid by the time you retire. If you can eliminate a mortgage, car payment, or other debt, you can live on less. Having a financial margin, especially in retirement, is critical. Debt hems you in, especially when the economy slows down and the stock market declines. Note the word "when," because the economy moves in cycles. You have to prepare for the downturns that will inevitably come. Now, how can you make your goal of retiring debt-free a reality? Well, first, think about ways to get more margin in your budget. Start with cutting expenses. Do a budget overhaul and get rid of things you're just paying out of habit. You can also increase your income. Can you get some work on the side? Think of increasing your income and decreasing expenses as a kind of a 1-2 punch to knock out debt that much faster. Now, there's one really big move you can make, literally. You can downsize to a smaller house. Whether you have a mortgage or not, this can be a lifesaver, especially if you're still paying off your house. If you can downsize enough, you may have sufficient equity to pay off your existing mortgage and purchase a smaller home with cash only, or at least a much smaller mortgage. Moving to a smaller home will lower other expenses like property taxes and maintenance costs. If downsizing isn't an option, do what you can to speed up your mortgage payments. We've talked about increasing your income and lowering expenses. Use that margin to put extra on your mortgage principal. That will reduce the interest you'll have to pay. Making just one extra payment a year can shave off several years of payments over the life of the loan. Now, what about credit card debt? Well, inflation also rears its ugly head there because credit card interest rates go up right along with inflation. If you have credit card debt, you have to make more than the minimum monthly payments. Put extra money on the card with the smallest balance. When that's paid off, go on to the next. That's called the snowball method, and studies show it's the strategy most likely to succeed. We recommend that you not tap into your home's equity to pay off consumer debt. For one thing, it converts unsecured debt to secured debt, and if you fail to make the payments, you could lose your home. Also, if you haven't corrected the behavior that led to the credit card debt, paying it off with a home equity loan may simply increase your debt problem. If you have more than $4,000 in credit card debt, contact our friends at Christian Credit Counselors. They'll put you on a debt management plan to help you pay off your debt 80% faster than going it alone. Do you know one call that we've never gotten here at FaithFi? It's from the person who paid off their consumer debt or their mortgage and regretted it. We just never get that call. So if you make a plan to get out of debt before you retire, you'll greatly improve your chances of staying retired, and that means you'll have more time and resources to give back to God's kingdom. All right, your calls are next. The number, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. A famous pop singer recently released a song asking, "What was I made for?" It plays on the radio almost daily. It won a Grammy and an Oscar for Best Song. Why so popular? Perhaps because every person is asking themselves the same question. Were we made to chase worldly pleasures or power, or made for something greater? Scripture gives us the answer we long for. 1 Corinthians 10:31. The Apostle Paul says, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." Human beings were made to glorify God in everything we do, even the most mundane things. Are you seeking to glorify God in your life? Get more daily encouragement with Anchor Devotional. Try it out. Visit getanchor.com.
Frustrated by your health insurance? Confused by the network restrictions and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high cost of healthcare. Take back control of your healthcare with the ability to choose a provider you trust with no network restrictions and savings of up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
Weekday mornings at 8 Central, Pastor Jeff Shreve offers real truth for today.
I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries.
The world around us is rapidly changing, but God and His truth will never change.
I may be the host of the show, but I want God's Word and His truth to be the star of the show.
Join Pastor Jeff Shreve each weekday morning at 8 Central for Real Truth for Today on American Family Radio.
Have you ever wondered where your money goes when you deposit it in a bank? Christian Community Credit Union believes in helping advance God's kingdom through everyday financial transactions. For over 67 years, they have provided values-aligned banking solutions to thousands of Christians and ministries. Consider Christian Community Credit Union as your banking institution by visiting joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Glad to have you with us today on Faith and Finance right here on American Family Radio. My name is Rob West. I'm your host. We're going to take your calls and questions for the remainder of the program. Looking forward to hearing what's on your mind financially today, 800-525-7000. Our hope and prayer is that we can be an encouragement to you, help you pursue God's best as you manage and steward the resources that He has entrusted to you. That's a high calling, and we recognize that money and the things that money can buy have the potential to compete with God for first position in our lives. The world would have us to believe that our longing for abundance and satisfaction and purpose can be found in the things of this world. It's a lie. It can't. And we know that only that will be satisfied in Jesus Christ as we pursue God and God's economy and see money as a tool to accomplish His purposes. We know that we have an abundance before even the first dollar. And so how do we bring all that under the Lordship of Christ and live with contentment and generosity as hallmarks of our financial lives? Well, it's only when we renew our minds through Scripture and we encourage one another along the way, and that's a key part of what we want to do on this program each day. So with those practical financial questions you have today, we'd love for you to call 800-525-7000. We'll tackle them together. By the way, if you have a testimony of how God has been at work in your financial life and you'd like to share that with us, maybe this program has been an encouragement to you, we'd love you to share that as well. 800-525-7000. I mentioned a testimony, and it sounds like we have one of those to kick the program off today. Michelle is calling from New York. Michelle, glad to have you with us. Go ahead.
Thank you so much for taking my testimony, and praises be. In January, I called the show to ask, well, we are vacillating between paying off the mortgage for a rental property or the student loans. And ultimately, you said it's no bad decision, but you advised for the student loans. But in the call, I didn't tell you that it was a rental property. So I go home and tell my husband, and he said, call back. So I called back, and Ms. Sharon Evans was on the show, and she said, ultimately, it's no right or wrong way if you're trying to pay it off and live debt-free, but, you know, we'll go with the student loans. So I talked to my husband. We've had the mortgage since we've been married for 12 years, and the student loans are only 2 years old. And he said, remember when we got married, we said we wanted this house paid off. And I am here to tell you that about 5 minutes ago, I just hung up with Wells Fargo making our final payoff mortgage payment.
Come on.
And so our home is free and clear now.
How does that feel, Michelle?
I'm giddy. Like, oh my goodness, you know, and it's been a journey, but steadfastness, focus, and having a partner that we can really be honest and talk to each other about. And even though we were in this journey of living debt-free, we were still able to do some of the fun things, you know, for our children over spring break and, oh, this event is coming up. We were still able to live and pay off this mortgage and put all of our additional resources to these lump sum payments. And so I just wanted to thank you for your wisdom and guidance, because I listen to you every day, every single day.
Oh, wow. Well, Michelle, I mean, you and your husband are illustrating what it is we talk about here on this program all the time. First of all, we recognize it's not ours. It all belongs to the Lord. Second, that we have a role as a steward in managing those resources. And that when we start with our faith and allow our faith and our values given to us by God to then inform the goals that we set, we understand that the longer term, the perspective, the better the decision we can make today. And so you all had real clarity about where you were going and why, and that allowed you to make some sacrifices in the short term, even though I love what you said about still having some enjoyment. I think that's very biblical in what God has provided, and even celebrating along the way. But you stayed laser focused on where you were ultimately headed, and now you're going to experience the fruit that comes from being unencumbered, being able to follow the leading of the Lord. You know, as you now have more money to recapture in your budget, probably helps you balance it a little better, but maybe even have a little bit more margin to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit in giving and generosity. And that's what it's all about. You know, it's not being able to necessarily just check a box and look at what we've accomplished in our financial life. It's really about pursuing the heart of God and seeing the money as a tool to do that. And you guys are perfect examples of that. So listen, congratulations. I'm so delighted that you called to share this with us, because I know that you're an encouragement to somebody else. So what would you say before we let you go today to somebody listening today who maybe can't see how they can do this, but they share your heart's desire? What encouragement might you give to them to pursue the same objective?
I would say, if you're married, have honest, clear communication with your spouse. And if you're having any struggles with money, talk to your spouse about it. And if you're single, I would say make sure your goals are something that you could see every day. Find a partner in faith that can keep you encouraged on your goals, because that's something my husband often would remind me. We're encouraged, you know, okay, so we're not going to the movies, but we have plenty of streaming services in the house. We can make it fun in the house, or whatever the case may be. So just stay focused. Those little things that you're doing is adding up to you reaching your goals.
Oh, that's so good. Well, listen, congratulations. Tell your husband we're thrilled for the two of you. And please call back along the way. You've been a delight to talk to today. God bless you, Michelle. Thanks for being on the program. 800-525-7000. Boy, that doesn't ever get old. And what a joy to be able to celebrate with her as she today made her last mortgage payment. That thing is gone. All right, let's head to Alabama. Hi, Sandra. How can I help you?
I have another comment about credit, Christian credit counseling.
Yeah.
I have always been skeptical of trying to pay my cards off while I was continually putting more on them. And so a couple of years ago, we decided to take the leap and call y'all, and we did, and we got our interest lowered, and our payments were manageable, and we ended up paying it off way before we had planned to, because we had took a little money that I had coming to me. We went on and paid it off, and now we're credit card debt free, and we're also giving more to church, and God is just giving it back to us plus some, because we have less income coming in now than we did when we first joined the Christian credit counseling. So it has really worked out for us. We still owe a mortgage, and we're trying to pay a little extra on it alone, but we're both retired, and we retired earlier than we had planned to because of disabilities. But
that's incredible.
God has been so good to us. And
wow.
Sandra.
Yes, ma'am. Well, thank you for calling. Well done to you and your husband. That is incredible. Wow. Another story of getting out of debt, different kind of debt, but equally as exciting. And here's what I love about what you just shared. You're exactly right. Christian Credit Counselors is a wonderful partner in ministry. They've worked with thousands of our listeners. But here's what you resisted, Sandra. You know, often when we get out of debt, the temptation is just to allow that money that was going to the debt repayment to find its way back into additional lifestyle spending. And you all said, that's not going to happen with us. Guess what? We're going to give more. And now you got more money going to your local church. Incredible. Thanks for sharing your story. God bless you, Sandra, and congratulations. Wow. Awesome. We'll be right back.
What we believe about the Bible is based on what we believe about its source.
The God Who Speaks, the award-winning documentary from the American Family Association, is now available in a special limited edition DVD set. This release includes a Sunday school curriculum and 2 hours of additional footage. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to get your copy today. thegodwhospeaks.org.
FaithFi is grateful for support from One Ascent. One Ascent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. One Ascent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good, to explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values. More information is available at oneascent.com and by clicking Analyze My Investments.
Join Wesley Wildman and Tony Vitagliano for AFA at the Ark, a special trip to Answers in Genesis Ark Encounter and Creation Museum, October 31st through November 2nd. You'll tour the exhibits like you would expect, but that's just the beginning. Deepen your knowledge with presentations from special speakers and a panel discussion with Wesley and Tony. Head to afa.net/events today and click AFA at the Ark. afa.net/events. Click AFA at the Ark.
We are grateful for support from the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing. ECFI is an educational initiative of Eventide Asset Management that seeks to help Christians understand and practice biblically faithful investing. They do this through their podcast and online journal featuring articles from industry thought leaders and their course called Discover God's Story for Investing. More information is available at faithandinvesting.com. That's faithandinvesting.com.
For over 40 years, American Family Association has stood for righteousness and God's truth in our nation.
American Family Association Executive Vice President Ed Vitagliano.
One important way you can join us in the battle is through a charitable gift annuity with the AFA Foundation. The charitable gift annuity benefits you, and it benefits the culture-transforming work of American Family Association.
Phone 800-326-4543, extension 345.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Wow, great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here at American Family Radio. Our hearts are overjoyed here as a team just to hear the delight and the joy and the voices of faithful stewards of God's resources. You know, our hope and prayer each day on this program is to be an encouragement to you, to counsel you with God's word, to help you navigate your financial life and make wise decisions that align with your values and priorities as a believer. And just to get started today, two incredible testimonies, one from Michelle as she's literally just about an hour ago made her final mortgage payment to Wells Fargo and just wanted to share the joy that came with that goal that she and her husband had set. And then Sandra in retirement with credit card debt, not knowing how they were going to get it paid off, connecting with Christian credit counselors. Now they're out of debt, credit card debt, and that money's being redirected in part back to their local church for additional giving. I mean, that's what it's all about, folks. By the way, if you want to connect with Christian credit counselors, we realize in the wake of high inflation, more and more people are struggling to stay on budget. And to accommodate that, they are taking on credit card debt, which is, of course, not the way to go. But if you're in that situation, we know you want to get out of debt, and Christian credit counselors can be a great resource to get those interest rates down, one level monthly payment, and get it paid back on average 80% faster. So if you'd like to learn more about that, they're great partners of ours and have been for many years here at Faith and Finance. Just head to ChristianCreditCounselors.org. All right, coming up in our final segment today, Jerry Boyer will stop by. Jerry is our resident economist. He joins us each week with his insightful comments on the market. He also updates us on his most recent work in the area of corporate engagement on behalf of AFA and other shareholders. Jerry will be here in our final segment. In the meantime, we're taking your calls and questions on anything financial and your testimonies today. If we have more testimonies of God's faithfulness, feel free to call with those as well. 800-525-7000. Let's head to Alabama and welcome Milton to the broadcast. Go ahead, sir. Hi, Milton. We're having a little trouble hearing you. Let's see if we can get that corrected. Are you with us? All right, I'm going to put you on hold. My team will work with you and see if we can get that cleared up, and we'd love to tackle your question. Let's go out to Texas. Hi, Bob. Go ahead, sir. We're going to head to Texas and talk to Bob next. And go ahead, sir. Hi, Bob. Are you with us? All right. We're having a little trouble here. Let's try one more time. Bob in Texas, are you there? All right. We're going to put that line on hold and see if we can get that cleared up here. Let's go out to Kentucky. Elijah, let's see if we can get you on the line. Go ahead, sir.
Good morning.
Hi there.
I have a question for you. What is linked market CD, please?
A CD is a certificate of deposit. And specifically, are you talking about a brokered CD? What type of CD is it?
Linked market CD.
Okay. A linked market CD is probably referring to where a certificate of deposit is linked to a return of a collection of stocks or perhaps a market index. And so you might think of the S&P 500. And so basically it's either equity linked or market linked. And so you know, it's a basket of equities or a combination of the two. So the return that you see from the CD has to do with the performance of that underlying asset. And so typically, regular CDs would grow according to a set interest rate. But in this case, it's not a set interest rate. It's going to depend on the market index. So, you know, I think the big appeal with these is they have the potential to secure a much higher return than a standard CD if the market is performing well. But as with any market investment, you do have the risk of not making any money or even losing money. So I think, you know, the bottom line is it really comes down to what is it you're trying to accomplish. And, you know, would you be better served just to invest in the open market through, a high quality mutual fund or exchange traded fund? Or if you're looking for something safer, do you go with a traditional CD that is going to give you a stated interest rate that's guaranteed? Does that make sense?
It does. If I wanted to buy one, should I go to a brokerage firm, sir, to buy one, or the bank can do that, or you telling me, please?
Yeah. Typically, you would get that from the brokerage firm. There would be some banks that could do it. Now, the drawbacks are that, you know, if you need to cash out early, you are going to pay a fee, and, you know, the returns are taxable as interest rather than capital gains, and often these underperform. They don't do quite as well. You also don't get any of the dividends, and you may have a capped upside potential. So, they will, not necessarily give you the full upside in exchange for that downside protection. So, I think what I would do before you go into this is just make sure that it's a suitable investment for what you're trying to accomplish, and that you're okay with the lack of liquidity and the loss of the upside potential in exchange for some of that downside protection. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. May I ask you another question, sir?
Yes, go ahead.
Where in the Bible I can learn about running a business?
Yeah.
I read the Bible many times, but I don't see detail about that, Rob, please.
Yeah. Let's do this. I'd like to send you a book that I think might shed some light on this. I mean, clearly, God's Word has all kinds of principles about, you know, the way we should operate with integrity and the value of hard work, that we shouldn't be idle or lazy, that, we need to treat people well. We need to love our neighbors, and that includes our suppliers and our customers and our employees. So we can draw principles out, but in terms of the direct application, you're not going to see that specifically. However, I'm going to send you a book called Business God's Way from Howard Dayton that I think will shed some light on this. So stay on the line. We'll get your information. We'll be right back. 19. That's how many pairs of shoes the average American has in their closet. 1. That's how many pairs of shoes it takes to share health, education, opportunity, and the love of Christ to a child in need in the world. You can play a part in changing the life of a child today through Buckner Shoes for Orphan Souls. Visit giveshoestoday.org and find out how you can provide shoes for a child in need. That's giveshoestoday.org. When money takes a place that it was never intended to take, competing with first position in our lives, taken out of God's original context, our goal is to make sure that money stays in its proper context as a tool to accomplish God's purposes. We want to help you do that as we look through the lens of Scripture at the practical decisions and choices you're making every day. And so let's talk about it.
Faith and Finance with Rob West, weekdays at 9 a.m. Central or on the AFR app.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
If you enjoy this radio program, you're going to love all of the many different resources waiting for you at faithfi.com. You'll find more powerful wisdom, podcasts, articles, videos, and more from partners like the National Christian Foundation, Sound Mind Investing, and Christian Healthcare Ministries. Connect with the community of thousands of Christians striving to be good and faithful stewards, and check out all of the free biblical financial advice at faithfi.com.
The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. AFA aims to evangelize the lost and disciple the believer. We aim to strengthen biblical marriages and equip parents to raise godly children.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association.
Paying too much for health insurance? Frustrated by high deductibles and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high costs of healthcare. Take control over your healthcare costs with a program from CHM that could save you up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions. We've got room for you today, 800-525-7000. If you've got a question on managing God's money, a specific situation you're wrestling with as you live, give, owe, and grow God's money, you can call right now, 800-525-7000. We've got a few lines open, and before we talk to Jerry Boyer in our next segment, we'd love to tackle whatever is on your mind. Also, we'll take your testimonies today. How has God been at work in your financial life? Share that with us, 800-525-7000. Let's go back to Alabama. I think we have Milton with us now. Go ahead, sir. Hi, Milton. Are you with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, great. Go ahead.
Yes, I will possibly have to move to another city, possibly maybe to another state. And I would like to know if it's a wise strategy to rent my home instead of selling it to buy a new one in my new location.
Yeah. You know, owning a rental property, Milton, is a great way to build wealth, but being a long-distance landlord is difficult. So you would typically need to hire a property manager to take care of the property in your absence, and the average rate or the average cost of that is going to run you about 8.5% of the monthly rent, could be as high as 10%. So if you have a mortgage and then you've got the property manager, not to mention the taxes and the insurance and then the maintenance and the upkeep, if somebody doesn't handle your property or maintain it quite the way you would have done yourself, then you've got to be able to cover the carrying costs of that. And even though maybe you're hopeful you can get a renter, maybe it's a strong market in your area, you know, we have to think about the worst case scenario, which could be, let's say a year from now, you're in another country, we're in a recession here in the United States. Let's say you can't get a renter, and so now you don't have any income in the property. The question would just be, does that create a financial hardship for you without any rental income, if that was the case, to be able to cover the mortgage and pay the property taxes and insurance and the management fee of the property manager, those types of things. Give me your thoughts on all that.
Well, based on what you're saying, basically, I should have a good amount of money available just to cover for that. That's what I'm thinking. If I don't have enough money, cash available, then it wouldn't be wise to do the rental.
That's right. Yes, sir. And I'm not necessarily trying to discourage you, but I am saying let's count the cost. And in your desire to, you know, continue to steward the asset that you have there, that home, I just don't want you to get overextended because, you know, if things were to go awry, you know, you would have all these expenses that you would have to maintain. And I just don't want you to be in a difficult spot. So what you may want to then consider doing is if you don't need the money, the equity in your current home for whatever you're going to live in overseas, then perhaps you sell it. You know, we're in a very strong real estate market right now. I would imagine you should pretty, you know, get a pretty good amount for it, just based on what's going on nationally in real estate. And then take that and perhaps hire an advisor, which you could go to our website, faithfi.com, click find a professional. Maybe you interview several certified kingdom advisors there in Alabama. Turn that money, the equity in the home, over to an advisor to manage for you in stocks and bonds, and you all would talk about how conservative or aggressive you would want to be. And that way, it's a passive investment. The money is working for you, but you don't have these other risks of the carrying costs and the expenses of the property. You know, all that's gone at that point. Does that make sense?
Okay, so you're telling me to get a financial advisor. That's the bottom line you are advising?
It is, unless you were to say, you know, I don't have a mortgage, or I do, but I'm going to have plenty of cash flow to cover it. You know, I could weather 6 months without a renter. You know, I'm factoring in the property management, or I have a family member that's going to be in Alabama that's agreed to look over the property for me. I mean, I would just want you to make sure you have all the other pieces in place if you're going to keep the property. But if you feel like, based on what I've said, it could become a burden to you financially, then yes, I would propose the other option, which is selling and investing.
Absolutely, absolutely. And to make your point, I was also thinking how much if I decided to keep the house and rent it, then the new house that I'm thinking of buying in the new location, how much down payment could I was able to put down? So I don't even have the 20% put down in a new house.
Yeah.
I got more than 10%, but I wouldn't be able to put 20%. So that means that I would be putting myself in a hardship more than an advantage.
I think that's right, Milton. So I think that's your answer there is let's go ahead and sell this property. Hopefully it was a great investment for you. You got a good bit of equity. Let's get that out of the house. Let's buy your next property wherever the Lord is leading with a good, healthy down payment. If you know, perhaps you consider rolling 100% of the equity in and keep your lifestyle low, and then, you know, take what you would have been sending to a bigger mortgage and, you know, put that aside in investments. So I'm not opposed to you taking 100% of this out in terms of the equity, the proceeds, and rolling it into that next property, and let's borrow as little as possible. But hopefully that gives you some things to think about. All the best to you, sir, in this move coming up, and we appreciate you calling today. Let's go to Tennessee. Hi, Minta. Thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for really did not expect to get through today, so I'm just totally blessed that you had the open line.
Well, I'm delighted you did.
Anyway, I'm 62. I have zero saved for retirement because
Oh, we're losing you a little bit there, Minta. Hopefully it'll clear up. I heard you say you were 62 and you have nothing saved for retirement. Go ahead.
Right. My quasi 401k plan unexpectedly passed away very suddenly a couple of years ago. I'm a nurse and I'm working a lot of hours. I was recently divorced and I'm not sure how long, you know, like when you have a change in your situation, you can change your 401k and all that stuff.
Yes.
So, is there a time limit on that? Or, because I can always wait till November to start a 401k through work. Or if it would be smarter, in case they don't match, I could just go straight to a Timothy plan. I don't
I
own
see.
A house. There's no, you know, I own my car. I have no debt, basically.
Okay, great. Well, I'm thrilled to hear you've got, sounds like a good job, good income, you're debt-free, you're a little behind on retirement, but you've got, sounds like a decade or more, at least a decade before you're thinking about retiring. And so we can really focus on building up some assets that could be used to supplement Social Security. Did I hear you correctly? You have a 401k with a previous employer, is that right?
No, I'm not sure if my current employer offers a matching thing. I'm pretty doubtful that they manage anything. That's why I wasn't sure if I should get a separate 401k with somebody else or just go straight to like Timothy Funds.
Got it.
Something like that. I don't know.
Sure. So it's a great question. The benefit of that 401k, even if there's no matching, is that you get the tax deferral. And I like that a lot because that way, as you put the money in, which you could still buy Timothy potentially through a brokerage window, or you could use an IRA, you don't have the taxes putting a drag on the investment. So here's what I'd do. I'd check into the match. If you get it, go for that. If they don't have a match, I'd open a Roth IRA, R-O-T-H. You could fund that up to $8,000 because you're over age 50, and then you could buy the Timothy fund in there. Thanks for your call. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Tim Moore, Senior Evangelist on Christ in Prophecy. With all the uncertainty in the world today, it's good to know that God's promises never change. On Christ in Prophecy, we'll examine the signs of the times and consider what's really happening in the world today through the lens of God's prophetic word. To hear more biblical hope for the future, join me for Christ in Prophecy, Sundays at 11 a.m. Central, right here on American Family Radio, and find out what's really going on in the world.
To all of our friends on American Family Radio, this is Michael Brown, thrilled to announce to you that we have a brand new 30-minute daily equipping broadcast that will light a fresh fire in your life and will infuse you with faith and truth and courage to help you stand strong in the Lord. It's coming your way, 12:30 every single night, 5 days a week. Don't miss a single broadcast on the Line of Fire. I believe your life will be changed.
As a faithful listener of the Faith and Finance program, you know that there is life-changing financial wisdom in God's Word to meet all your needs. More than anything, FaithFi is here to help you and millions of others see God as your ultimate treasure. As a nonprofit, we're grateful for our partners that help expand our outreach every month with their generosity. Has God provided financial answers for you through this ministry? Please consider becoming a monthly partner by visiting faithfi.com and clicking Give.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly 3 decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here at American Family Radio. We're so glad you're along with us today. We've got lines open, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Well, each Friday, our good friend Jerry Boyer joins us. Jerry is our resident economist, and Jerry stops by on this segment each week to share with us an update on the markets and the economy, and we check in with the latest in the area of corporate engagement. Jerry, are you with us?
I am.
All right. Good afternoon, or morning, I guess it is still.
I'm with you. I'm always with you, man.
I know that's true, and I always feel better when you're riding shotgun with me. Hey, we spoke when you were at a conference this week on corporate engagement. We'll get to that in just a moment. But first, on the economy, obviously some inflation data that came in this week. Give us an update.
Yeah, inflation data came in yesterday. It's the CPI data. That's the Consumer Price Index. We don't need to get too far into the weeds, but there's like 7 or 8 different ways that the government measures inflation. And this is the one that probably matches most what people are actually feeling in the world, which is basically kind of a bucket of goods and services, and is the price going up or down. Now, they have one called core inflation where they don't count food and energy. And good news, if you don't count food and energy, prices went down. bad news, everyone uses food and energy
right.
Every day. So we're not deflationary yet. But, you know, that was down a little bit. And so that made people think, and with some reason, hey, maybe inflation is slowing down. Now, you and I know we do these quarterly calls for the industry where I point out that some of these commodities like oil energy, sometimes it goes down because of a lack of inflation, and sometimes it goes down because of a lack of demand for a slowing economy, right? So oil going up can be an inflationary sign, or it could be a growth sign. Same with copper. Oil going down could be the sign that we're beating inflation, or it could be a sign that the industrial economy is slowing down. I think it's mostly the latter, because a bunch of other numbers, surveys in real time, the most recent GDP report, the gross output, which looks at the whole economy, not just final purchases, they're all pretty much pointing towards what the economists call a growth recession, which is, it's not a technical recession. The growth doesn't go below zero, but it gets a lot closer to zero, like say 1 and 1.5%. And when that happens, it makes it look like we've beaten inflation, because when people are concerned, when they're afraid, they spend less. Now, that doesn't mean inflation has gone away. It just means, maybe I won't buy that new house. Maybe I won't buy that new car, or refrigerator or whatever. Maybe, I'll cut back a little bit when I go shopping. So that reduces demand, and then stores have to kind of discount things a little bit to get people back in. So I don't really think we've beaten inflation, but it's coming down, I think, because of a slowing economy. But the Fed is acting like it's beaten inflation and like it's slowed down the economy. And so now markets are betting, and I think correctly, that the Fed's going to turn the money spigot back on. And so if they turn the money spigot back on, where does that money spigot run through? That money spigot does not go from the Fed to your house. It's not like their local reservoir comes right into your house. The money goes through the markets, through the banks. It goes through Wall Street. That's where they pump it in. They don't pump it right to you. They pump it through markets, which is why markets go up when the central bank pumps new money into the system. And because of that lower than expected inflation number this week, markets went up. They took off strongly yesterday when that inflation came out, and they're up today. But gold rose too. So when markets are going up, but gold is going up, that's a signal, that's not an improving economy. That's easy money. And when markets are going up and gold is going up and the dollar is going down, and all those things happened in the past day and a half, again, that's not a signal that the economy is doing well. That's a signal that everyone understands that the Fed's going to goose the economy through easy money.
Wow. Yeah. Thanks for reminding us of that, because it's not the way it should work. And yet it's the way it does work, because this is the situation we find ourselves in. And has this kind of been embraced as the new modus operandi in terms of economics in the Ivy League schools, Jerry? I mean, is this what's being taught now in terms of the path forward?
Absolutely. John Maynard Keynes, who based his economics on atheism, was very successful in getting his disciples into the Ivy League schools, and they've been in charge for really 70 or 80 years. And so what they think is that, that growth causes inflation, so you have to fight inflation by slowing down the economy. Wrong. That's not biblical economics. Biblical economics is we want people working. We want people being productive. Growth isn't the problem. Easy money is the problem. But that's how Keynesians think about it, because they're not grounded in a biblical design. What's happened in the past, say, 10 or 12 years is that the central bank, the Fed, has gotten so gigantic. It's like what happens when the parasite's bigger than the host. It's gotten so gigantic that the central bank, our Fed, is bigger than any other investor. And so their Keynesian way of looking at the world is now moving markets more than it ever has in history. I mean, imagine if the biggest whatever the biggest investor in the world is going to do is going to move markets.
Yes.
It just so happens the biggest investor of the world has an anti-biblical economics, and so they are reacting. And so markets kind of have to follow. They have to say, is this good for the economy, or is business doing well? Nothing happened yesterday from yesterday to today that told us that business is doing better. So why are markets up? Because we're responding to our dysfunctional ruling class, and we know they're going to pump money into the system.
Yes. Well, that's exactly right. Well, thanks for that, Jerry. It's discouraging, but yet enlightening at the same time. Let's pivot to corporate engagement. Always a lot going on in this area. I know it's a real passion of yours. Share with us the latest activities.
Well, there's something that's been going on. We talked about Tractor Supply, I think, a little bit, or maybe you were on vacation.
We did.
But so we did talk. So what's happening is the same thing is now going on with John Deere. That some of us have looked into for instance, the fact that they will match grants to all sorts of organizations for employees, but not churches or synagogues or any organization that proselytizes. So, I mean, let's face it, that's where most American charitable giving goes.
Yeah.
You know, it's not mostly the United Way. It's mostly churches, synagogues. It's mostly our religious institutions. And so John Deere is discriminating against them by saying, well, you know, you can give to all sorts of groups with all sorts of political and ideological agendas, but you can't give to your church or seminary, for that matter. Or you can't give to any missions organization. Well, you can, but we're not going to match it. So they're discriminating in their matching. But also there's been some digging in, and they not only did they do the usual sponsorship of Pride events, which is pretty divisive, I think, for a lot of Americans. But according to one journalist, Robbie Starbuck, that one of those was aimed at children. So you've got, I think, as low as 11 years old, 10 or 11-year-old children at a Pride event. Wherever you are on the issue of same-sex attraction or LGBTQ, whatever, I think you know kind of where I am on those issues. But the fact is, no 10-year-old needs to know who you like to have sex with or what kind of sex you like to have. No 10-year-old needs corporations getting them in a little parade or something that is celebrating the way that that a subculture in America likes to have sexual relations. To me, that is just insanely foolish branding for any company, let alone John Deere, with a rural customer base of farmers. So I think we're seeing something like the situation with Tractor Supply, where these companies that take anti-religious stances, like, for instance, their employee training, teaches them about unconscious bias, including Christian privilege. Well, I don't know. If I was a Christian working for John Deere and I had to sit through a mandatory webinar that told them that I have unearned bias, unearned privilege, I don't know how privileged I'd feel by that. That doesn't sound like privilege to me at all. So you have a management team that has gone in a direction that is way out of kilter with shareholders, probably, and certainly with customers. And I think it's vulnerable to their brand. And I think I'm seeing pressure grow in social media now, where maybe they're going to make some of the wise decisions the Tractor Supply did, which is saying, our political engagement is only going to be directly involved with our business. You know, our political engagement is going to be about agricultural issues. What a crazy idea. And not sexual identity.
Yeah. Well, I know you've engaged with John Deere in the past on behalf of AFA, and perhaps there's going to be more in the future.
Yeah, I did. And the response was not respectful. I asked for information about their charitable giving because there were reports about charitable giving that they had been taking these ideological positions. So I want to know what they were giving to. And IR wrote back and snarkily said, well, if you just do a Google search, it comes up in the first three results. Well, the fact is it doesn't come up in any results because they don't disclose it. And I pointed that out to him, and he did apologize. And then I said, okay, great. Now tell me who you're giving to. And, all right, now we've worked out that I'm not an idiot that who doesn't know how to use Google, that it's not there. Now would you tell us who you're giving to? And they didn't. They won't disclose that. But we do know their rules, and they do discriminate against religious organizations. So this is something, I think this is an opportunity. Some of this is, AFA should be talking about, but there are discussions about engaging in a more proactive way with this company, which has clearly lost its way.
Yeah. Well, there's a big idea here, Jerry, that as shareholders, you have a voice, and that voice can be leveraged in the form of shareholder resolutions and proxies, and Christians are waking up to that idea, and you're leading the charge. And we're grateful. We appreciate the update, and I hope you have a great weekend, my friend.
Same to you. God bless. All
right. That's Jerry Boyer. He's our resident economist. Joins us each Friday with his economic update and his corporate engagement update as well. Well, folks, thanks for being along with us today. Dennis and Doug, we'd love to see if we can get you scheduled to be first up on Monday. If you want to stay right there, Pat will try to get you rescheduled for that broadcast. I apologize we didn't get you on today. Folks, it is always a joy to be along with you. We're so grateful for your calls, your encouragement, your testimonies, and when you support our work here at FaithFi by going to faithfi.com and clicking Give. Big thanks to my team today. Jim Henry providing great research today. Adam Suddeth was handling our engineering and production today, as well as our phone screener today, Pat Montague. On behalf of the entire team here at FaithFi, I hope you have a great weekend. Come back and join us next time. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.